Welcome everybody on this last session on day one on the SharePoint connections. I'm glad you chose this session because it's the only session on the Office client components during these 2 days. My name is Bart Wessels. I'm a technical specialist on Office client. I work for Microsoft. I'm based in the Netherlands. And I'm glad that I'm able to talk to you about the changes we made in Office 2010. I have a slide with the agenda. 3 points: what's new in Office 2010, the story of in and out, and Office integration into SharePoint 2010. But before we get started, and since this is the last session of the day, I'm trying to make you a little bit interactive. So please raise your hand if you did not deploy Office 2007 because end users find it hard to work with. Okay, that's a few hands. Please raise your hand if you're on Office 2007 now. That's many, many, many hands. And for the daredevils, please raise your hand if you're already on Office 2010. These are the people I love the most. And 50% of them are my colleagues. So that's not honest. Who was not working for Microsoft already running 2010? Okay, still a few hands. Cool. Office 2010. We started working a few months before we shipped Office 2007. And what we always do is we look a bit back. What major things happened in the past versions? So if we take a look, for instance, at 2001, the version that first supported integration to SharePoint, Office XP, it still has capabilities to work with SharePoint components. But to be honest, it's really, integration is level is really, really fair. If we look at 2003, the integration got, a bit better. It's good integration. We made some improvements both in the side of SharePoint in working with documents. SharePoint 2003 was more and more on working with team sites, sharing information. So the sharing part from the Office applications was also getting much better than the version before. We made huge improvements towards... My mouse is not working. We made huge improvements in 2007. But there still are some things that are not that easy in 2007 that we picked up in 2010. But in 2007, it was always also possible, for instance, to use the business data catalog from SharePoint in your Office applications. It was possible, for instance, to get information offline since 2007 was the first version that contained Groove. But there was also some limitations because it was indeed possible in Groove to get content from SharePoint offline, but you would lose all metadata. It was not searchable in Groove since Groove had a secure environment, so you can't search the local documents on your desktop, for instance. So there's a good integration, but we think it can be better. So what did we do for 2010? First, we changed Groove. Groove got a new name, and Groove will be SharePoint Workspace. I'll get into that later on. But much better integration. We are introducing co-authoring so that I can work together with a colleague on the same Word document, that I can work together with a colleague on the same OneNote file, for instance. So all kinds of things that make it easier for me as an end user to collaborate. If you look back in time to 2001, back in that period, most of the documents were created by one person from A to Z. Nowadays, you collaborate, you gather information from the internet, you cut and paste information and combine it all together into one document. So the way we generate documents changed over time, so also features in Office are changing over time to help end users to get the best results. So the primary focuses we had building Office 2010 is make it easier for end users to reach their goals, give end users easier tools to get insights into information, but also for IT, make it easier to deploy Office, make it more secure, which I will not go into that deep today due to time restraints, but protect information and stay compliant, a feature, for instance, in the combination Excel Exchange 2010 and Outlook 2010 that helps businesses and helps IT environments. But we're also heavily investing in making it easier for end users to adapt the applications. There were some hands on the question who didn't deploy Office 2007 because it was too difficult for end users. We got that message. And we did some things to make it easier for end users, for instance, to print a document again. I'll get back to that later on, because what we introduced in 2007 actually was this new ribbon interface with this Office Pearl, that round button. And raise your hand if you didn't know that that was a button first time you started. Many people. I have a colleague that hasn't printed for 3 months because he didn't know there was a button. And I'm not going to mention his name because I did it over and over again, but this is recorded. And he's not in this room. So that round button, we listened, and we actually changed that back to the file menu. So we still have the ribbon in 2007, actually in 2010. Actually, all the applications in 2010 will have the Fluent User Interface, but they do all have the File tab. So you can now say File, New, and get your template and get started in Word, for instance, to make it easier for end users to adopt this. The backstage menu, I'll get back to that later on in this presentation, also has quite a few new features that we build in, but like I said earlier, I'll get back to that later on. We made it easier in this case, Excel 2010, to make to give end users the ability to visualize data in a more efficient way. In 2007, we introduced conditional formatting, which you can see in the first two columns. And I'll do a demo of this later on. So now we introduce sparklines, so you can visualize actually several rows of data into one cell. I'll show you that later on. Slicers are mentioned earlier in other sessions. Slicers make it easier to dig into data. If you, for instance, look at the old way, we could build a pivot table, and if I would then highlight a few countries, that would be, in this case, four steps. In slicers, you can do that in one step. So it's quite easy for me as an end user to get an insight into the data, but also see the data that I'm not visualizing in my spreadsheet. And I'll give a demo on that later on. So, by the way, slicers also work in Excel web services and the Excel web application. So you can use them in all versions of Excel. Take control over email and calendaring. Outlook, we have been investing in Outlook heavily the last couple of versions. In Outlook 2003, we changed the way your mail is visualized. We introduced one column with the emails and then a big screen that visualizes the email highlighted. In 2003, we also introduced search folders. Who uses search folders, by the way? Who didn't know there were search folders? One honest person. And you're not honest persons. Okay. So many things were done to making it easier for end users to filter their email, to visualize their email in different ways, because the number of emails we are getting every day and is increasing, and it's still increasing. When 2003 came out, my email box was 100 megabytes. 2007, out of 450 megabytes mail. Account, and now currently it's 4.5 gigabytes, and it's filling. So I need more things to help me get more productive on email. And a few things we did in 2010, for instance, is making it easier to create custom actions. I want to have a button that says, okay, mark this email as unread and move it to the done folder, for instance. So I can create custom actions that are accessible with one button for my specific needs. Sorry, let's go one slide back. Another thing I'm quite happy with is Mailtips. What I can see now, sometimes upfront before I send an email, oh, you're going to send an email to somebody that's out of the office. You might want to send it to somebody else. Normally, in the old days, I would send out the email, then I would get the out-of-office reply back, and then I would think, okay, now who can I ask this question because that person is out of the office. Now I get the information up front. If you send an email to a large alias, you could get a mail tip that says, okay, you're now sending an email to 250 people. Maybe you don't want to do that. Or in this case, if you send an email to all internal people and one external people, you get a warning. Perhaps you don't want to do this because it might contain internal information. So I'm getting tips up front before I even send the email. I get warnings, and that helps me in my daily life. I'm not going to be able to demo this because I'm not connected to internet. Gartner predicts that in 2012, 25% of the content we consume will have multimedia in it. And if you look on the internet, there's more and more multimedia available. So that's why, for instance, in this case, in PowerPoint, we made it possible to sharpen or recolor images. We also made it possible in PowerPoint to edit a video file. So all things to make it more work more and more interactive in Office applications. So we're finally at my favorite part, the demo itself. Let's start with Excel. I have an Excel file. I already did some conditional formatting, which was introduced in Excel 2007. And what you would typically see is that people intend to visualize data, so not everybody has to drill down in the raw data. We do use conditional formatting here as well in the raw data. But if you want to visualize, for instance, 12 months from 10 stores into one graph, it gets kind of messy, right? But it's typically what end users do. So what we did is, and therefore I have to go back to revenue by month, what I can do is insert a spark line, and just by selecting January until December, I've visualized 12 months of data into one cell. Now, what's a typical thing that end users do in Excel is they copy values to other cells. So now I have 10 stores, 12 months visualized in 10 cells. Quite impressive, right? Okay. Let's take another file. This is a file with a pivot table. And pivoting is quite funny. It gives you insights and information, but you don't always know what values are selected. It's not always that visible. So what I can do, actually, is quite easily insert a slicer, and I can choose, in this case, month of year, hit OK, and there's my slicer. And I can now drill down in the information. But what I can do is create dashboards as well with slices. And this file has several tabs, and I visualized the data and had the slices all the way at the site, and I can drill down in Europe, North America, Pacific, or Pacific and North America, and I only want to see bikes in this case. And what you will see is that, well, depending on where you click, more or less information is visualized. So I, as an end user that used to work with pivot tables, can now use slicers and can build complete dashboards with it in Excel just to visualize data and make it easy to switch these views. And like I said earlier in the presentation, I can do it now with one click instead of four clicks using the pivots. So end users using pivots a lot, huge improvement. So I got another slide I'd like you to show, just to visualize what slicers, conditional formatting, and sparklines can do in spreadsheets. Just some random sheets that visualize data. So it's quite easy to work with them, and you can create insights into the data you have as a company. I'm glad they built this in. So let's go to Word. In Word 2010, we actually building quite a lot that can help end users and that can help organizations. Let's go back to the view tab. For instance, we enhanced the navigation pane. What I can do now is have a visual insight of what's on that page. But what I can do also is if I go back to this view, is for instance say, okay, I want a customers behind instruments and current operations, I want to have that as first. So I can actually drag pieces of my document up and down as, or sort them in the way I want them to appear into the document. What I can do as well is, for instance, if I'm finished with this, what I can do is, okay, I'm able to save the document later on. But what I want to do as well is check the document for issues, and I want to check the document for accessibility. Since not everybody in the world is able to read, whether it's due to visual impairness or the fact that you can't read, there are many people that convert documents into files that can be read out to users. But if you, for instance, have a graph in the document and it doesn't say anything about the graph, you can't translate that into an audio file. So what we do now is make it easier. And now the demo stops. I have an issue in my document. Okay, funny. Don't save the document, grab another document. This only happens in a demo. I don't know why. Let's take these documents. File. Sorry. Check accessibility. And then on the side, I can see which parts of the documents I have to change to make it accessible for instance, a DAISY reader that reads out documents. Huge improvement if you want to be interoperable with your data. So something else that's new in Office, it's not only in Word, is the backstage view. What you will see at this this point, and what I'll get back to that later on. Let's go to a PowerPoint file. Like I said earlier, we did a lot in working with multimedia in PowerPoint, and we added some new transitions to PowerPoint files that make it more or less appealing in the way they transition. I'm quite happy with this one. My all-time favorite will be this one. And that's the last slide. So what we can do now is, for instance, add a new slide. Add a slide section in this case, a new slide. And I want to add a video to the slide. I have a video of wildlife. Edit into the presentation. What we did in 2007 is when you added a picture to PowerPoint, you could replicate it and make the shadow visible. We now added that, the reflection also to video. And what I can do is move it a bit that you can see the same in the reflection. If I now play the video, you can see also the video into the reflection. But I'm not into horses, so I want to trim the video. Let's go to the playback tab and trim the video. I want to start somewhere here with the birds. And with the koala. There we go. The video gets edited. So I can trim the video, I can recolor the video, I can actually do anything I want with it to make it suitable for my presentation. Now in this case, I'm not connected to the internet, but a question we often get is, okay, can you also embed videos from, for instance, YouTube? Yes, you can, but you need, of course, access to the internet, which I don't have, but I can directly grab and embed a video from a website. Be aware if you start using this that you need internet if you present. I've seen it once with a colleague, so that didn't work. Okay. Due to the fact that the Beamer only sends out 1024 resolution, it's not not my favorite resolution to demonstrate Outlook, but I can do my best. New here is that you have some calendar integration, but I'll close that for now. What we did in Office in Outlook 2010 is actually make it easier for end users to get insight over the information that's stored in the inbox. We introduced a conversation view in Outlook 2003. We changed it a bit in 2007. And we now added some extra features to that. Because what we'll do now is the moment I hover over this email, I can expand and now I can see all the emails that have to do with this specific conversation. So the moment I step out, it will close again and I can open up the other one. So I have much more information visible on top on my inbox. But in this case, emails with the amount of replies like this also have some contamination in my inbox because they all have the same information in it and the last email contains the whole thread, right? So there's a lot of redundant email. Well, first, it's easier to scroll through these specific blocks. But what I can do as well is say, okay, this email thread, I want it cleaned up. I want to clean up this conversation, so all redundant emails are moved to deleted items, and in this case, I only have two emails left. I can do this on complete folders. I sometimes have a folder, 700 emails, clean up, and there are 200 left, because it all contains discussions with redundant information. You don't lose any information, only the redundant emails are moved to your deleted items folder, so you can always get them back if you wish, but it cleans up your inbox extremely fast. Who sometimes gets into an internal discussion, gets involved into an internal discussion via email, and then you think, okay, why am I in this discussion? Everybody does, right? Okay. Take the Tailspin Toys proposal. I've got nothing with toys. So what I can do now is hit the ignore button and the whole conversation will be ignored. The two items are sent to deleted item. If another reply comes in on this same discussion, it's automatically moved to my deleted items folder. Who's happy with this feature? Yes, most people are. Thanks. I'm quite happy with it as well. It helps me on a daily basis. Okay. Remember, I showed you this of the things that are new in the client applications, but I only have an hour. So I have to make some choices. So we're now moving to the story of in and out. Sorry? Yes, that's where the question was, and the backstage view in Word, and that's where I'm going now. That's to do something with the story of In-N-Out. Thanks. I'll buy you a beer afterwards. With Chef Free. Flashback. Summer of 2003. What we did. Actually, we started working in 2007. And if you look back in time, in the first versions of Word, first versions of Excel, the first versions of PowerPoint, we were all building on things that have to do with creating the document itself. And since 2000, we worked on all kinds of things towards collaborating in documents. So we began to realize that there are two types of features in Office. Features inside the document and features outside of the document. If you look at features inside of the documents, they have all got to do with changing the content of the document itself. Make this alinea bold. Things like that. Things that have to do with the document itself, with the content of the document itself. The out features have to do something with things outside of the document. I want to print a document. It doesn't affect the way the document views itself. I want to send the document, save the document. So it has to do with things that are not related to the actual content of the document itself. These out features are now all placed in what we used to call in code name Outspace, and the commercial name of that will be Backstage. And like I said earlier, in the beginning, all the applications until Office 97, they were all in features, and then the internet came up, we started collaborating, it was easier to send out information, to share information via email, so we started working in a different way, and like I mentioned it earlier, back then we created documents from A to Z ourselves, and now we rely on other people, we rely on knowledge of other people to create documents, and actually we reuse more and more content every day. I'll get back to that later on. So that's why we generated Backstage, and the Backstage view is available in all Office applications, and it gives you, for instance, an insight of who originally wrote the document and who is authoring the document. And you can directly see the presence. What we do, for instance, there, metadata capturing. If the metadata fields in the document, they are visible in there as well. If that document is generated from a content type, the metadata fields are visible in here as well. In this case, I opened up this document. I can do it live, actually, in a minute. I opened up this document, but I was not connected to SharePoint. So that's why you see, okay, you got an offline copy of this specific document. What you can do to Backstage as well is put a developer on it and create your own elements into Backstage. It can be an ideal place in this case Excel or in Word to host some features of a SharePoint application, for instance, that has to do with the document. So you can create your own tabs, you can create your own fields in here, visualize information that has to do with the document, etc., etc. Use a developer and make yourself an application. Let's go to Word. I want to file. Open up a document. Sorry, I don't want to open up a document. I want to get a recent document. Recent documents. And as you can see here, this is a document that's actually stored on a SharePoint team site. I'm not connected at this moment. I double-click the document. And it's opened. What we are introducing in Office 2010 is the Upload Center. And what I can do here is now showing all pending uploads, and I'm not connected. But I have cached files that I opened up recently from SharePoint. I can decide how big that cache is. And so in situations that I don't have connection, or like now, totally no connection available, I can still open up these documents from my SharePoint environment. The moment I get a connection back, it will sync the document back to SharePoint. So that's the reason I can now open up a document from SharePoint. And in this case, there are two kinds of documents. In this case, it's a highly structured documents and the other sort of documents that there are the non-structured document. But in this case, I know that my colleagues will fill in a social security number here, the name of the patient, patient ID, etc., etc. So what we did is we added fields to that. And due to that, if I go to Backstage, these fields are visible here as well. The moment I save this document to SharePoint and content types are similar, the metadata fields are pre-populated into SharePoint. So this is actually helping me, and it's telling me now that the upload field, which is correct because there's no connection. But this is one of the examples where I use the Backstage view in this case. Yes, please. The question is, repeated for the recording, is do these documents need to be signed out on SharePoint? Because in this scenario, I can edit the document and somebody else might be editing it at SharePoint at this moment as well. Correct? The documents are not signed out. What I would do today in 2007 is download a local copy of the document and upload it back tomorrow, which I probably will forget. What I could do today as well is link the list with documents into Outlook and open up a local stored cache there. So back to scenario is not new, but you have to be aware that you're working with a local copy and the conflict resolution has to be done in this case at SharePoint tomorrow when I have a connection. And there at SharePoint, we discover that two people changed the document at several moments. Yes, you have to be considering those kind of scenarios, which will also appear once you download whole team sites with SharePoint Workspace. I'll get back to that later on. Okay, I said we try to make this an interactive version. What's the most used feature in Word, Excel, and PowerPoint? Copy, paste, undo, right? That's what I'm signaling. Okay, paste is the most used feature for 11% of Word feature uses, 15% in Excel, and 12% in PowerPoint feature usage. So we don't create documents from A to Z anymore, right? That phase is long gone. 1/10 of the features is paste. Okay, that's an awful lot. So we copy and recopy information. What's the feature that comes after paste? Sorry?
Copy.
No.
Undo.
Indeed. And why?
Formatting.
Right? Everybody does it. Yes, indeed. So that's why we introduced, and it's a small feature, but it helps me quite a lot. That's why we introduce Live Preview Paste Gallery. What we did in Office 2007 is the moment I select some cells in Excel and I go to conditional formatting and I go to the data bar or hover over the yellow bar, I directly see the impact on my choice of my document, but I didn't make the choice yet, right? The moment I hover to blue, puff, it's blue. So we are now doing that for copy and paste as well. So let's go back to my Excel spreadsheet, and I'll show you the live paste preview on conditional formatting data bars. So I don't make a choice yet, but I can directly see the impact of my choice to make, and the moment I click, my choice is fixed. That's the live preview, in this case, of conditional formatting. But the moment I'm, for instance, selecting this, Control-C, go to my Word document, create a new document, and I paste this in, the trouble starts, right? So normally now I would do undo. Copy the same text block again and retry, right? With the same result, because the computers do things always the same. So let's repaste it. So what we now have is a live preview gallery with, in this case, all my different options. And in this case, I would think that I would go for the picture UI. It's a small thing, but it helps you. And it helps you quite a lot. If I go back two slides, 11% of the features usage in Word, 15% in Excel, and 12% in PowerPoint. So this is a huge time saver. Question in the back. The question is, will it also work if you paste it into a Word document that already has a style selected? Okay, that's yes, it will. But there's some other feature that it's not in the presentation. What we did in 2007 is we made it possible for you to work with themes in PowerPoint. And you can say, oh, that's a nice deck. And then you can save the theme and reuse that theme later on in a new presentation. The same, that is now being applied to all Office applications. So, yes, it works. And you can use it with themes in a smart way as well. So I have a theme in your PowerPoint presentation that I like, and I can reuse that theme in Word. If I paste in something from my own PowerPoint deck using my old ugly theme, I can apply it to the new theme as well. Does it make sense? Okay, shall I show it to you? Control C, let's go to this document. This document has a style. The moment I paste it into this document, you can see that I can link it and keep source formatting or choose destination style, which is not wise in this case, but this is not a setup example. But you can see here that you can apply it to your destination style and to the source style. So it is built in. I don't have a good example running at this moment, but it is built in. All right, a question I'm hearing from customers since 2003 is, we want to take SharePoint offline. Who is taking SharePoint content offline in 2007? Who likes it there? Nobody. Okay. In 2003, we made an acquisition for a company that was called Groove. Groove was a peer-to-peer environment and had some capabilities in getting SharePoint content offline. And like I said earlier, you could take files from my shared document lists offline, and you couldn't search them locally because all things in Groove are stored in a secure blob. It wasn't able to get the metadata offline. So actually, I had documents offline, but I couldn't search them. It's not that workable. In 2010, we make it easier for end users because now SharePoint Workspace, a new name for Groove, has capabilities in getting whole team sites offline. Since in SharePoint you can build solutions using the business connectivity services, it's also possible to create solutions that you can take offline and that they sync deltas of information back to your SharePoint site the moment they are online. So it's not only team sites that you can take offline, but you can create quite rich environments for typical end user scenarios to make them able to work not connected to the office. So what you will see is documents are getting offline, the modified by, executive sponsor, follow up date, all the metadata fields are dragged offline in this case. Well, actually, I told you the scenario. It auto-syncs, you get your information offline, and via the internet, you can send deltas back and forth. So if I change one bit into a 50 megabytes PowerPoint presentation, only one bit will be sent to the server. It's quite efficient. Yes?
Is it still possible to take your documents offline in Outlook?
Yes, it's still impossible to take your documents offline in Outlook. This is a one-way synchronization. And if you're online, you get a warning that you might want to send it back to SharePoint.
Well, just because I want to see if you have a solution for also take email in it. Is it possible to drop email to email from your Outlook to your SharePoint workspace?
I haven't tried. No, I don't think it's possible. The question is, if you have specific read-write rights on the SharePoint list, do they apply when offline? The answer is yes. What you can also do is declare on SharePoint that specific sites can't be taken offline. In the scenario from the question earlier, when what will happen if I'm offline, I change the document now, and you are in the office changing the document itself as well, and you have situations where documents get changed quite a lot, so there will be quite a lot of conflict resolution, you can decide that this specific list on SharePoint is not suitable to be taken offline. So it's you can manage that on SharePoint. Question in the back. Yes, I log into Windows. That's exactly the credentials I use to log into SharePoint. In my case. Does that answer the question? Yes, but you can set in Windows who can look into my documents folder, right? That's something you have to do on Windows. In my case, there's actually two answers to this. First answer is, in 2007, Groove put everything in a secure blob. There was one file container that only I can access. So that was your security model. If my laptop was stolen and I don't have BitLocker on it, somebody gets the disk out, is not able to access the data. All my other data is accessible in that case, but not that specific Groove blob. To make it possible for SharePoint offline folders to make them searchable, we were not able to put it in Groove in a secure blob anymore, because then you can't search it. If you can search it, somebody else can get to the information as well. So if you have information that is in the category that when it's offline on somebody's laptop, and there might be a scenario that if the laptop gets stolen, the data comes out, make sure the data isn't searchable, that you can't get the data offline. And do your security stuff in Windows. So put BitLocker on and manage it on that side as well, because what I can always do is take a local copy from the document, put it on my desktop, if I have access to the site. So there are It's not waterproof. I'm taking the whole side of line. Actually, I'm going to show you. I'm taking all lists of line. I can actually add announcements to the list while offline. When I'm offline, they get published and might be outdated as well. So I have to really think of how I work with this as an end user, because yeah, you might end up in all situations, depending on how long you are offline. It also works for publishing sites. Not every list you can take offline, but I'll show you in a few minutes. If you get an announcement lists offline, it's actually also publishing, right? Okay, something else. It's introduced earlier, it's mentioned earlier today, but for Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and OneNote, we are introducing web applications, which means I can edit and view documents into my browser, and that will work in Firefox, Safari, and Internet Explorer. This and SharePoint Workspace can be an ideal situation for locations of your company with low bandwidth. I drag my team site offline in SharePoint Workspace once, and then I can work with it offline, and it only sends the data, the deltas back and forth. Can be an ideal situation. If I'm searching in a farm in Redmond, and I find this 26 megabyte PowerPoint presentation, and I click on it, and I have to get it all over the line and edit one word and then send it all the way back, perhaps opening it in the Office web application would be an ideal situation because I don't have to drag the whole presentation over the line. I just view it via my browser. So there are more scenarios for end users to quickly get insight in information. It's mentioned on a session on ECM, probably. But we introduced metadata-driven navigation into SharePoint, and therefore it's important that it's easier for end users to add metadata to documents in when they are working. In most of the situations, people don't go to SharePoint, at least situations I see, people don't go to SharePoint, open up a template there. Now, for more less structured documents, people open up Word, start typing the document, and then, okay, what was the specific team site again? I don't know. What we are introducing is two things. A pop-up, the moment you add a document to SharePoint that tells you, oh, it might be metadata. And what you can do in SharePoint, and it's not visible in the slide, is if you are in a team site, you can say, okay, send this URL to Outlook, send this URL from this team site to my Office client application. And it will directly be visible. So the moment I try to share this document to, for instance, SharePoint, I get all my sites directly visible. In the old days, I had to go to a colleague, what was that URL for the team site? And now via one click, I can add the URL to Office. Which makes it easier for me to directly send information to SharePoint. You can also browse for a site, yes. I can show you that since I have no connection. But just like today, you can browse for a site. But having the button in SharePoint makes it easier to edit. Yes. Does it work in conjunction with branch cache? I don't know. Branch caching is helping me to earlier open up data that's downloaded before. And that's not typically in this scenario. So I'm unable to answer that question, unfortunately. The moment I open up the document from SharePoint, by the way, I also get related documents visible in Outspace, in Backstage. I have to get used to the new name. Let's go back. Okay, co-authoring. Has anyone seen co-authoring before? A few, okay. Who doesn't know what co-authoring is? One honest person. Okay, imagine we are working on a proposal and we have 6 weeks time for that specific proposal. Typically, we're doing nothing for 5 weeks and in the last week, it's getting hectic. Everybody wants to edit the same document at the same time, right? So what do we do in SharePoint? We put versioning on. I see that one of my colleagues is already editing this document. Open it, save it, give it a new name, still add all my comments to it, and I'll paste them in the original document later on, right? That's what happens in real life, correct? Yeah, pretty much. Okay, so the question we got from customers was, why don't you make it possible to work together in a document at the same time? Well, finally, we were able to do them. So, first, in OneNote, which will be an application that used to be in Office Enterprise, but now will be available in Office Standard and Office Professional and Office Professional Plus. So every user that doesn't create documents from A to Z anymore by itself, but collaborates, finds, searches for information, copy-pastes the information together into a document, now has access to OneNote, which used to be your personal note-taking experience, but now it's also a collaborative experience because I can save OneNote files or OneNote notebooks on SharePoint, and several people can download it, and then you can instantly work together in it and live see what other people have typed in. One scenario, to work together in one file. Other scenario, to work together in one file, is Word. From Word, it's easier to initiate workflows. In this case, for instance, to route the document to an approval process. And if you work into a Word document that's opened up from SharePoint, it's now possible for a second person within the environment organization to open up the same document. You would get a pop-up that says, somebody else is also opening up and editing the document. The alinea you are working in is locked for you, and my colleague can work on other alineas. And I can instantly see integration with presence, where is the person working inside of this document. This is, in this example, a Word 2010, SharePoint 2010 combination feature. Question? In this case, no. If the document was checked out, you weren't able to both edit the document. I don't have SharePoint running, and since I'm alone, I can't demo this at this moment. But there are videos available, and I have a ton of links in here. There are some more or less client-related sessions tomorrow. There's one on building data center composite applications using SharePoint Designer, which could be an application that you would typically take offline, for instance, in SharePoint Workspace. If the rooms are still correct, I'm not sure. There's a session done probably by Wouter on 2010 SharePoint 2010-based document assembly and manipulation using Word automation services and OpenXML, which is pretty exciting stuff. And creating workflows with SharePoint Designer, InfoPath, client application, and Visio, other client applications. So if you're interested, please go there, but check the room numbers if they are still correct. What I do have in this deck is links for the people that haven't downloaded the beta bits, links to the Office 2010 site for end users, for IT Pro, and for developers. Remember, I can only tell you this from the whole container we have. Links to all the beta applications and links to all the Office teams that are actively blogging at this moment on specific features in Office client applications. Check them out. Very useful information. They tend to put out videos on a weekly basis with short demos that can help you give insights in what you can achieve as an end user or as an organization using Office 2010 client applications combined, in this case, with SharePoint. So, are there any questions? I still have room for questions. So we invested 3 years, and there's only one question.
Is there also co-authoring for Excel?
The question is there also co-authoring for Excel? Yes. Yes, there is. Yes. Question with a longer answer. Have the file formats changed at all? It's a good question, and it's a bit hard to answer, but yes, they have. In 2007, we introduced OpenXML based on the ECMA OpenXML standard. Since there's been an ISO process, the standard has changed a bit. So we comply to the ISO OpenXML standard on release of Office 2010. As an end user, there won't be much impact on that. Sorry?
So features like Spark ones in Excel, which are not in there in Excel 2007, how are those captured in the file formats?
The question is, you've added some new features that didn't exist the moment the OpenXML specs, the ECMA OpenXML specs were published. Are they in the new spec? It must be. They are in the XML file. So probably your question would be going on backward compatibility to 2007. What you can do in 2010 is only use the 2007 features while deploying the organization and put that off the moment everybody is deployed, for instance. Or just like you probably did during the XLSX phase while deploying to 2007, explain to users what would happen in file format backward compatibility issues, which is a difficult word. Yeah. Other questions?
When you co-author, what triggers an update from the other authors?
The question is, when you co-author on a Word document, for instance, what triggers the update time interval? Okay. Yes.
Safe.
And safe, yeah. The safe. The question again, sorry?
Is there any integration between the Office web applications and SharePoint?
The question is there any integration between the Office web applications and SharePoint? They run on SharePoint.
They run on SharePoint.
So in a SharePoint list, I can say edit the document in my web application, and poof, in SharePoint I get the web application. I didn't have questions from this area. Are there Office 14 group templates available already?
Group policy.
I don't know if they are available yet. No, I don't know. Does somebody else know? Nobody knows. Sorry. In the back.
Are there any improvements in the integration between Outlook and SharePoint?
Are there any improvements? Storing emails. Are there any improvements? And I get this question quite a lot. Are there any improvements in storing in the integration from Outlook to SharePoint in the scenario of storing email? No. At least, not that I'm aware of. Yeah? Is the question based on drag and drop? Yes or no? Not listening anymore. Let's run there. Was it related to drag and drop emails?
Yes.
But for instance, what I expect you can do, but I'll try in a minute after the session, is drag a email to SharePoint Workspace. But I'm not 100% sure. Jurjen? Yeah, that's the one scenario. And SharePoint Workspace will be available in Office Professional Plus. Final question? Then I want to thank you for your time and hope to see you in SharePoint. Thanks.